Here is Leslie Kane, an investigative journalist and author, notable for her books about UFOs and, for that matter, afterlife. People are very interested in UFOs, and the government is supposed to this month release a report. I wanted to ask her a little bit about that and about the whole topic. Leslie, welcome to WGN Radio in Chicago. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be with you.
Your book is UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. What is the status of this June report? Has it been released already, or are we waiting for it?
We're waiting for it with a great anticipation. It's supposed to come out around June 25th, as far as we know. That could change, but I sort of doubt it will be out before that. And we don't know a whole lot about what it's going to say. I don't think it's going to be anything super dramatic that's going to change the dialogue a lot, but I think it's very important that it's happening at all. And it's going to be a major news story when it comes out.
I kind of think it already is. And what branch of the government? I mean, who's releasing this? Who's doing this?
Well, it's the Senate Intelligence Committee has requested the report from what is known as the UAP Task Force, which is a group of people within the Department of Defense who are studying the phenomenon. And they call it UAP, which stands for Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. Sometimes people don't like to call it UFOs because of all the baggage associated with that word. So this group within the DOD is supposed to gather information from a lot of different agencies, from places like the FBI, the Navy, the Air Force, and NORAD, and places that have collected data over a long period of time on this topic, and they're supposed to bring it all together and put it into a report, which will have both a public part and a classified part. And they deliver that to the Senate Intelligence Committee by the end of this month.
Why is the Department of Defense interested in this? Why is this under their purview?
Well, the Department of Defense has been interested in it since about 2007 because they have, because mainly Navy pilots, but others too, are encountering these unidentified objects around Navy ships and around Navy aircraft. And they have to take that seriously because they consider it a potential threat, which means, you know, they don't know what these things are. They are demonstrating extremely sophisticated technology, which the Department of Defense can't explain. So when anything is operating in our airspace in places where it's not supposed to be, and where it's coming close to our ships and our planes, the Department of Defense has to be concerned about it. That's their job, to protect us. So that's why they're sort of at the core of this narrative.
Well, and I mean, if they protect us from whom, and I presume that they're protecting us not from aliens, but from maybe other countries, people whose technology may be more advanced than ours, remarkably more advanced in that case. But that's why the Department of Defense,
and that's what they have to find out, because they're going to announce in this report that this technology is definitely not ours. And there are some questions about how it's possible that China and Russia, which would be the two leading contenders for this, could have technology that is so far ahead of ours. I mean, this is extremely advanced, sophisticated behaviors that we're observing with these objects. And so there's that possibility that maybe they're not made by another country, but it is completely not known at this point. And that will be the next step, to try to find out where they're coming from.
I should say that you, Leslie Kane, are the soberest of observers of this sort of thing. In that now famous New Yorker piece, they describe you as a person that really does want to distance herself from the crazies out there, or the fanatics, or the people that are drawing pictures of what they look like, or are telling sometimes fantastical stories that strain credulity. You do seem to be a person who is open to the subject, but you are very methodical in your thinking about this. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I'm trying to report, and I've been doing this starting in the year 2000 for over 20 years. I just want to report the facts, and that, you know, as a journalist, I want to have credible sources and documents and, information that can be corroborated. And I just want people to know what we do know about UFOs and what we don't know about UFOs. And a lot of the speculation is really what we don't know about yet, and people jump to conclusions and put it out as if it's fact. So we have to be very careful to discern know, what knowledge do we have that's really verifiable? And I'm just trying to sort that all out for people so that they know what's real. Well, that's basically what I'm trying to do. I'm also trying to get people to take it seriously, which now I don't have to try to do anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's happening. But I tried to do that for many years and through my reporting.
Well, Leslie, is it possible that the things we're talking about, and I'll ask you to describe some of them or what they seem to be doing in a minute, but is it possible that those aren't things at all, that they are light or they are clouds or they're reflections? They aren't objects per se, period. Is that a possibility?
It's a possibility for some sightings, for sure, John, but the thing is there's radar data on many of these objects, and if they're on radar, they're solid, they're physical. So that, you know, the most credible cases that the Department of Defense has and that, you know, involved in Navy includes radar. Includes multiple witnesses, pilots. So, my understanding is if it's radar, it's got to be something physical.
Well, clouds show up on radar. Storm systems show up on radar, don't they? You get weather imagery from radar, don't we? I mean, but these sure don't look like clouds. They don't look like, you know.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of possible explanations. I'm not trying to rule out what you're saying at all. You know, it's hard when you have eyewitnesses in combination with radar, and you might have also photographs or videos of mm-hmm. something. So you have to put it all together before you can assess it. But certainly there are many, many, many sightings that can be explained through what you're suggesting and through many other possible explanations. It's the ones that the Department of Defense has that for which they have a lot of data and very credible people involved in the highest level of technicians that can analyze that data. Those are the ones that are of great interest, but absolutely many of them can be explained. There's no question about it.
Well, give me one that can't. And I'm thinking about some of this Navy pilot video that we have seen and heard talked about. Leslie Kane is on the line. She's the author of UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. And in a couple of weeks, this Senate report, or a report to the Senate, which will be great news for Ron Johnson because he'll learn more about where he's from, I think. So that's very exciting for him and the people in Wisconsin. But just give me a specific example. Tell me something particularly compelling in a minute on WGN. We're visiting with Leslie Kane. She's the author, a person who's dedicated the last 20 years of her life, she says, to studying these unidentified aerial phenomena. She's the author of a book called UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. In a couple of weeks, Senate's going to get a report on this phenomena, what we know. Some of it will be classified, she tells us, though, so I guess we won't hear all of it. What's a good example of what you're talking about? What's a compelling, hard-to-explain case, Leslie?
Well, one case that many people may have heard about because it was profiled on 60 Minutes a few weeks ago is what we call the Nimitz case. It took place in 2004, and it was off the west coast of the United States, off the USS Nimitz, and there were a bunch of battleship groups, ships that were there in a group doing exercises. And there were two pilots with their crews. There were four individuals who witnessed this object that they described looked like a tic-tac. It was this oblong white object that was kind of moving around erratically above water, above the ocean. The water was all churning and white as if there was something under the surface. The thing was moving around with no visible means of propulsion or any ways of, you know, that we could imagine that such an object could move. And it also was witnessed as dropping from 80,000 feet to the surface of the water in less than a second. It was caught on radar, it zoomed off really fast, and it was witnessed by four people, and then a little bit later, another pilot got a video of this object. So that is a case that really remains unexplained. That doesn't mean that this couldn't be technology belonging to another country, as we discussed, but that's something that is going to have to be figured out, but it remains unexplained despite extensive studies that have been done on that case.
I've seen some Navy pilot video, too, of some objects flying, sometimes in unison. The pilots are chatting about it. You know, these are guys that fly things and know what things look like in the sky, and they just couldn't believe it.
Right. We have a video of one object, kind of, as you mentioned, and you hear the pilots say, oh, my God, there's a whole fleet of them. But you may notice that fleet is not part of the video. We just hear them describing it, and I've been told that there actually is that video does continue and does show a fleet, but we don't get to see that. That part was not released to the public. So there is still a lot of very good information that we know that the UAP task force has not released, and we're just hoping that they will feel it's okay to release more to the public than they have so far.
We're talking about, well, what if we see something and that means that somebody from another world is here? Do you then ask yourself, how did they get here?
Well, of course, we don't know that what we're seeing is from another world yet. But are you saying that if we're assuming that?
Well, I guess I am, sure. We're assuming that. I mean, to me, that lays a layer of doubt in my mind, because there's no way for them to get here. So,
Oh, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm the dummy. You're the guest. So that's my problem, Leslie. I want to believe it'd be fascinating, and I don't like the idea that the Russians have this stuff, but I don't see how any creature from another world could get here.
Well, it's a really good point, John, and I'm not a physicist, but I know there are physicists who have done theoretical studies at which explain that how advanced civilizations could travel through space-time very quickly. It has to do with the bending of space-time. It's very advanced physics, but it was something that was even discussed by Einstein years ago. So it is conceivable that imagine a civilization a million years ahead of us, which is conceivable given how vastly big our galaxy is, or the universe is. And, think about how much we've accomplished in just a few hundred years with our technology. So there are ways that very advanced civilizations could use energy and could bend space-time to travel through space. Now, it's also possible that if some of these objects are from somewhere else, that they don't have any creatures in them. They could be some kind of a drone or a probe that may have been sent out even a long time ago from another civilization. I mean, we have no idea, but I don't think you can rule out the capabilities of the very advanced civilizations to travel through space.
And obviously we've done that. We've sent things out beyond our solar system, a couple anyway. But that's interesting, too, because then the question often becomes, well, then, if they came all the way from whatever, learned how to bend space and time, and then they show up here, and then what? They leave? They crash? They don't have a message? They seem to have no purpose? But maybe it's because there's nobody on board. Maybe it's just some sort of, I don't know, object. Maybe they're sending pictures back to the mothership. I don't know.
It's such an interesting question, isn't it? And some people have also proposed the theory that maybe they wouldn't even be interested in us. Just like if we were in Africa studying some kind of animal, or if we had, something very primitive, if we were studying a bunch of an ant colony or something, we wouldn't really try to talk to the ants. It's possible that they might just be doing surveillance of some sort, and they're not particularly interested. I mean, that's another theory that's been proposed. So I love the mystery of this. I want to know the answers to all these questions, and I hope we find these answers.
On a phone line is Leslie Kane. UFOs, generals, pilots, and government officials go on the record. And she is just talking to us a little bit about, in advance of this government report that will come out later this month, some things to think about. Susie, you had a question. You're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hi. Well, I was thinking, we don't want to think the Russians have this, but they did go into space before us, and then we jumped in after that. We were shocked. But another thought I had was, Einstein, as you just said, he had this theory. Maybe he's one of them, and they're here, and they're working on advanced technology. I mean, it could be a million other things. Stephen Hawking, with minds like that we, can't even imagine, all of Einstein's theories are sort of being proven.
Let me ask, thanks for the call, and let's let her comment on that, Susie. The thing that troubles me about that, though, I think the problem with that logic is that you're asking us to believe that the Russians aren't just further ahead of us. You're talking about that on an order of magnitude that isn't just a few decades. It's thousands of generations ahead of us, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say for sure, but I've heard the people in the Department of Defense Task Force say it's beyond next generation technology. I've also heard Elizondo, who's the former head of the program, say maybe that would be 1,000 years ahead of us. I mean, I don't think anybody knows exactly, but I think the point is accurate that it's so far ahead of us that it would be a huge leap to imagine that our intelligence, and also that our intelligence
right.
services would not be aware that these other countries have the technology.
No,
it would be hard to imagine.
Well,
we monitor what's going on. So, you know, it's a big question. And I don't think it's comparable to the space race, because as you mentioned, the timing between those two events was not as significant as the leap in the technology would be.
We were all up there in the same decade. Well, do you think that there's some hardware on the ground that the government is hiding from us?
I think that's a possibility, John, and I did co-author a story with my colleague Ralph Blumenthal for the New York Times about that very question in July of 2020. And I do have good sources that have indicated that they believe that there are at least remnants of crashed vehicles that are in the possession of contractors connected to the government, that they're trying to understand what they are, but they're having a lot of trouble. But, you know, again, I can't prove that, but I think there's a good possibility that that's the case. And maybe someday we'll find out about that as well, because that could provide definitive proof. If we ever had something physical that we could show was not made on this planet, that's proof. And whether we have that or not, I don't know. And whether, even if we have a retrieved object, it may not be able to be shown as definitively from another, you know, from not from Earth. Maybe there are elements they use that are comparable to what we have here. Who knows? But I think that's a really good and important question. And I believe the answer is that we do have such artifacts stashed away, very, very secret and very highly protected.
Hmm. So Donald Trump knew about that and Joe Biden knows about that?
Well, that I don't know. I mean, I have no idea what the presidents are actually told. I know that Trump had some kind of briefing on this. I don't know about Biden and to what extent they're given access to these very, very top secret special access programs.
Yeah.
I don't know. You'd have to have the right clearances. I mean,
well,
I have no way of knowing.
President. All right. Well, let's do this, Leslie. Maybe at the end of June or shortly after the report comes back out, would you join us again and kind of give us your analysis then?
Absolutely. I'd be delighted to do it. I'm so glad you're covering this topic, and I'd be delighted to come back.
Leslie Kane is the author of UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record.